We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you give us eyes that are able to see and ears that are able to hear the words which you have for us this morning. And we pray that the growth in our spirit may be coming from you, as it always can be and has to be, and that our love for our Savior will increase. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 1, verses 8 through 17, a great one. So the day began just like any other day in the life of Zacharias. Luke chapter 1, verse 8, and it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, so it was a day just like any other day. Zacharias was going about his job, doing what God wanted him to do, being completely unaware that something great was about to unfold. So it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. So those who are aware of the rituals that the Jewish people followed in Old Testament times, they tell us that lots were cast for the highest daily task of burning incense on the golden altar in the Holy of Holies. Only one time in a priest's life could he be granted this high privilege. Zacharias was already an old man. His lot had not been drawn, and time was running out. There's a truth here for us. God often waits until time is running out before unexpected great blessings come. Let's remember that. So twice daily the incense was kindled at the dawn of the day before the burnt offering was offered and then in the afternoon after the sacrifice. Most likely Zacharias' offers came in the afternoon time since there was a multitude of people present. We think of Daniel chapter 9 verse 21 as kind of a parallel verse. Daniel 9:21, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And that was the time that it happened to Zacharias. The fortunate lot was said to be a white stone. And the reference to the white stone is in Revelation chapter 2, verse 17. In the second chapter of Revelation, verse 17, we read this: he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth save he that receiveth it. So verse 10, the whole multitude of people were praying without at the time of incense. These people were in what was called the outer court, and it was a court for the men and women to assemble and to pray. And so while Zacharias is in the Holy of Holies now, because it was his lot, this was an amazing thing for him. But you see, it only happened one time in a priest's career, and now his number had been drawn, his lot. This was a big thing for him. And while he was there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. Luke, the historian, just simply gives us the fact. And by the way, Luke is the only one that mentions this. So the angel appears, and when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him, which was a normal reaction. As one man puts it, any mortal human being, no matter how godly and mighty he might be, would be filled with fear at the sight of some glorious being from the outer world. So, the first thing the angel said unto him is exactly what we would have expected. The angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John." Fear not. How often didn't Jesus tell that to his disciples in the time of crisis? In the wind and the storm out on the sea, fear not. You have nothing to be afraid of. Your Heavenly Father's in control of the winds and the waves. And this is something that we all need to be aware of, how easily we can fall into fear. But the loving command is, fear not. We have nothing to be afraid of. And the truth of the matter is, fear in the heart of a child of God is a sin. And we all commit it. But we shouldn't. We have no reason to be afraid of anything. Scripture clearly teaches that everything is held in the hand of God. It's all working together for the good of His children, and great blessings come from everything that comes our way in this life. That's true. So fear not, thy prayer is heard. Well, what kind of prayer is he talking about? This is an amazing thing here. Zacharias is old, and his wife is old, and they're past the age of being able to have a child. And don't you think for one minute that when the sun arose that day, Zacharias was praying for a child. He hadn't prayed for a child for years. The prayer that he had for a child came when he was still physically able to beget one. And his wife was still able physically to conceive one. That's when he prayed this prayer. Years and years and years have passed since then. But the angel said, "Thy prayer is heard." There's an important lesson for us here. There never is even one prayer of a child of God that is not heard up in heaven. All of our prayers are heard. It's just that they aren't always answered as quickly as we would like them to be. But every prayer of a child of God is going to be answered sooner or later. In the case of Zacharias, the prayer was answered later. Remember years and years and years ago, Zacharias, when you prayed for a son, and you haven't prayed for one now for a long time because you've given up. But your prayer, the prayer that you prayed so many years ago, is heard. And it's going to be answered. Thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Zacharias is going to be the father, and his wife Elizabeth is going to be the mother. Physically speaking, impossible, yes. But with God, all things are possible. And Zacharias has been a child of God now for many, many years. you would have thought that when the angel told him he was going to have a child from his wife, you would think that he would have thought about the miraculous birth of Isaac. Abraham was old. Sarah was old. Abraham was 100, Sarah was 90. And the prayer that they had prayed for and the promise God had given them, they forgot all about. But God kept his prayer, his promise. He always does. And so Isaac was born in a miraculous way. You would have thought that maybe Zacharias, old as he was, would have remembered that. He didn't. There's a truth here for you and for me, and the truth is this, that the things that are written aforetime by the prophets are written for our instruction and our learning. And the Lord God is the same today as he was back in the days of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Zacharias and Elizabeth. He's just as powerful now as he was back then. And it's a shame that the Old Testament is so often given short shrift, because there are valuable, valuable lessons for us. This is our history. We've been grafted into the family tree of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is our history. And how much comfort we can get from going back to these things that happened in the Old Testament times. So thou shalt have joy and gladness. This is the angel talking to Zacharias. Thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. And this is more joy than the normal joy that parents have, physically speaking, when God blesses them with a child. This child is going to be a special child. He's going to be a great one. And the Holy Spirit doesn't throw around words like that lightly. Zacharias and Elizabeth would be too old at this point to see the ministry of their son, John the Baptist. But they can know ahead of time that he's going to be a great one. And you know, it's interesting. Anybody that has done this knows what I'm talking about. It's interesting for a Christian parent as they're raising their little one to watch how their little one develops and see the gifts that God has given them and project into the future, wondering where their little one is going to go, what they're going to be doing, what great things they're going to do in their life to the honor and glory of God. It's interesting to think about that when you're raising these little ones. And it's blessed to see how it unfolds when the little ones aren't little anymore. And they leave the nest and get married and start their own families. And they're honoring and glorifying God by what they do. It's blessed. It's blessed beyond words. And then grandchildren come. Okay. There will be crosses for children to carry. We know that. When they're real little, things are easy to control. If a balloon breaks, you get another balloon and blow it up and give it to them and everything is fine. But it doesn't stay easy that long. And there are some things that befall our children in their lifetimes that a parent can't control. You'd like to, but you can't. Cross-carrying is part of our calling as children of God. And we wouldn't want to take the crosses away even if we could. But what you do is teach your children how to react when they're carrying the cross. Teach them how to handle it. And you teach them how when they're little ones. And the way you do it is you pray for the guidance of the Holy Spirit and you teach your little ones Scripture. And you start by teaching them that they were chosen by the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit before the foundations of the world. The love that God showed your children began back in eternity past. And the children should know this. This is the most comforting doctrine in all Scripture, and it should be taught to them right away. God chose you to be His own from before the foundation of the world. And then you teach them from the pages of Holy Scripture that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit control every single thing that happens in the whole world. And the mess that we find ourselves in right now with the pandemic and all this sort of thing going on and the looting and the rioting, it's all controlled by the Heavenly Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And when they tell us, when the Holy Spirit tells us all things are for your sakes, that's exactly what He means. There's blessings in every single thing that happens for a child of God. So we don't have to be afraid. And we shouldn't be afraid. And the old summary that we all know is this. We don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. Fear not. The angel continues to Zacharias, talking about that son of his that's going to be born, which he still really doesn't believe. We'll find that out later. And the angel continues, "For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb." There are precious, precious nuggets in these words. And may the Holy Spirit give them to us, not only to know, but also to believe. This son of yours that's going to be born is going to be great in the sight of the Lord. Not necessarily in the sight of men. Because in the sight of men, it would look like the life of John the Baptist is a complete failure. He spent years and years and years preparing for his ministry. And finally, when he was ready for it, it lasted less than a year. So, all of his training, probably 30 years of it, except maybe when he's formative crawling around in the tent, but most of it was all in preparation for his ministry, and it lasted 1 year or less, and it was all over. And at the beginning, yeah, it looked like he was very successful, but the crowds didn't last. They went away. Some of them came to follow Jesus. Others just walked away because they didn't like what he said. Repent. Then what? We'll have none of it. So he was brutally murdered, head cut off, because a girl made a lewd dance and a drunken king made a rash promise, "Ask whatever you want up to half of my kingdom and I'll do it for you." So she went and talked to Mommy. Mommy said, "Ask for John the Baptist's head and a charger." And it happened. But the promise of God was kept. He shall be great in the sight of the Lord. That's what true greatness always is, in the sight of God, not in the sight of man. Who cares what man thinks? It's what God thinks that counts. And the Son of God talked about John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 11. I'm beginning at verse 7. Matthew chapter 11, beginning at verse 7. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John the Baptist, son of Zacharias and Elizabeth. And he said, what went ye out into the wilderness to see? When you went out to see John, what did you expect to find? A reed shaken in the wind? Did you expect somebody that's going to be telling you what you want to hear, and his message changes depending upon which way the wind is blowing? Is that what you expected? A reed shaken in the wind? No. He's great in the sight of God. He's going to preach the word of God and let the cards fall where they may. That's greatness in the sight of God. But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? John wasn't. He's clothed in leather. Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. Son of God said that of all the prophets in the Old Testament, none was greater than John the Baptist. And his ministry lasted less than a year. What was so great about it? Was it that John was a better preacher than Jeremiah or Isaiah or Ezekiel? No. What was it? What was it made him great? Greater than all the other prophets. And it was simply this. The other prophets told the people, a promised seed is coming. John the Baptist told the people, the promised seed is already come. He's among you. He's here. The one we've waited 4,000 years for, he's here. And so his greatness came in the relationship to Jesus Christ. And so this is what made it so great. He's the one that pointed to the Son of God and said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Okay, so Christ continues. This is he of whom it is written, behold, now this is a quote from Malachi, last book of the Old Testament. Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, that covers a lot of territory, right? Among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Now comes a shocker. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. That's amazing. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, this is Christ talking again, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Not all violence is wrong. There is a violence that's good, and you'd better have it, or you're not going to get into the kingdom of heaven. And that violence is the one that's willing to overcome every obstacle that the devil might lay in the way in order to gain heaven. It's following the word of God till death do us part. That sort of thing. And then, for all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if you will receive it, this is Elias or Elijah, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. We'll get into that in a minute. But right now, he shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. The absence of John the Baptist from even legitimate use of a glass of wine was forbidden. He lived the life of poverty as he preached. And his life was a living sermon. And people realized what kind of a life he was living. But he was filled with the Holy Ghost. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, this is the first qualification of a true prophet of God. Got to be filled with the Holy Ghost. If you're not, you've got nothing to say. You'd be a false prophet. And the fact of the matter is, this is the first qualification of every child of God. Do you know what Jesus says of us? He says, ye are kings and priests. Not you will be, you are. Every child of God on the face of this earth right now is a king and a priest. Because Christ says so. And we should act like it. And we should be filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is why there's two rules. And you've heard this before, but some of you haven't. There's two rules in studying Scripture that have to be followed. Rule number one is this. Every time you begin to study Scripture, begin by praying for the guidance of the Holy Spirit to reveal the treasures which are in it to you. He's the only one that can do this. And if he doesn't do it, you're not going to get it. So you begin your study with a prayer for the Holy Spirit. That's rule number one. And rule number two is never forget rule number one. That's so important. John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. Let me repeat that. John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. Well, how did that happen? That's a miracle. How did that happen? Faith cometh through hearing, and hearing by the Holy Ghost. But John the Baptist didn't hear, for he was born, did he? Or did he? When Zacharias and Elizabeth were studying Scripture, when Elizabeth was pregnant with John, was he listening? Did he hear what his father and mother were saying when they were reading Scripture? Is that how the Holy Spirit worked faith in him and his heart when he was still in his mother's womb? You mean he could hear when she talked? So that when he was born into the world, he knew the voice of his mother already? This is going to be a key point in our nature retreat this year, if Christ doesn't come back first. There's an application here. And the application is this, that I don't believe that John the Baptist, who was filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb, I don't believe that John the Baptist was an exception. I think this is showing us what happens very likely to every single child of God, elect child of God. That the children in the womb of the mother can hear. Yeah. And that's the way it was with John. This is one of the reasons why it's so important for Christian parents to study Scripture every day, even before their children are born. And then once they're born, you keep that up. But what a blessing for a Christian parent to know that the Holy Spirit is in their child's heart while the child is still in the mother's womb. And then, if there happens to be a miscarriage, what hope you have that your child is going to be in heaven. There's a lot of applications to something like this. Another point here, the Jews in the Old Testament knew very well that there was a Father, a Son, and a Holy Spirit. This was not questioned. When Jesus said he was a Son of God, there never was a time when the Jews said, hey, wait a minute, God doesn't have a Son. They never said that. What they did say was Jesus wasn't that Son. But they all believed in a Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The doctrine of the Trinity was taught very, very early, actually, in the opening verses of Scripture. We come right down to it. And the Old Testament people believed that. They knew it. They believed it. And so the angel continued, many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. The implication here is that a lot of the children of Israel had strayed, and they had to return. And the way that happened was when they believed and obeyed what John preached. Repent. Repent. If you want to sum up his teaching in one word, that would be it. And the Son of God preached the same thing. So when John was rejected, the one who announced the coming of Christ, it followed that Christ is going to be rejected also. Because they preached the same sermons. He shall go before him in the, this is so important, he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, that's Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. This is a quote from the final words of the last book of the Old Testament, the book of Malachi. And the VIPs in the Church of Jesus' day misunderstood it. They thought that the physical Elijah was going to come back. But that's not what the angel said, John shall come in the spirit and power of Elijah. Not the physical Elijah. Remember, Elijah was taken to heaven in a chariot of fire. And the scribes thought he's going to come back. And he's going to come back in a chariot of fire and announce that now Jesus is going to come. And because this hadn't happened, they said Jesus Christ cannot be the promised one. Because Elijah has to come first and he hasn't come. That's what they said. In Malachi chapter 4, I'm beginning of verse 5, Malachi 4 verse 5, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. He shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, that's verse 6, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. And that's exactly what the angel told Zacharias. The scribes, who were the professional students of Scripture. We would call them in our day the seminary professors. They missed it. Matthew chapter 17, verse 10. The disciples of Jesus asked him, saying, why then do the scribes say that Elijah must first come? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias or Elijah truly shall come first and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elijah has come already, and they knew him not. But they have done unto him whatever they'd listed or pleased. Likewise shall the Son of Man suffer of them. If they reject John the Baptist and his message, they're going to reject Jesus Christ. Then the disciples understood that he spake to them of John the Baptist. How was it possible that the professionals missed it? How was that possible? It was possible because they forgot rule number one. They forgot rule number two, which is remember, never forget rule number one. And rule number one is always pray for the guidance of the Holy Spirit before you study Scripture. And the scribes didn't do it. And yeah, they knew Hebrew very, very well. They knew some facts in their head. But they didn't understand it. And because they didn't understand it, they missed Jesus Christ. They missed him. And they ended up in the fiery pit. This is why we should be studying Scripture every single day under the guidance of the Holy Spirit.